At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
The Gilgo Beach murders, Long Island serial killer accused, Rex Heuermann now being connected, not officially by law enforcement yet, to more potential murders, but by the defense attorney for some of the victims. We're now looking at two other potential connections with Richard Allen, with some confessions and some testimony, rather, that was given to the defense attorney. Joining me to discuss some of these new allegations, these new pieces of information that we had not had before, Jennifer Coffin, retired FBI special agent. There's a lot to unpack here in this sworn testimony from some of these witnesses, former sex workers, that say they knew Richard Allen. They went to his house. They participated in Richard Allen's sex parties. And they also say, and I find this to be one of the more interesting pieces, that Asa Elrip was in the home. She was upstairs, not participating, but certainly aware of what her husband was up to. Does it mean she knew that he was possibly killing the sex workers? No, but it does, I think, show a little bit more knowledge of her husband's life than she has portrayed thus far. What's your thoughts on where all of this is going with these new documents that have come out?
Well, these witnesses are quite interesting, right? So we have witness number one, who basically says, hey, listen, I'm not a sex worker, but I'm a swinger. Mm-hmm. And I was dating a police officer at the time who was also a swinger. Mm-hmm. And we picked up Karen Vergata to go to Long Island to the house of Rex Heuermann to swing with both of them, swing with Rex Heuermann and swing with his wife. Mm-hmm. This is what has been alleged. Well, They arrived there, and according to this information that, again, was given by the attorney, but was the root of it, was this witness one, I'll call her.
Yeah.
He says that Rex swang with witness one, mm-hmm, and with Karen Vergata and with the policeman boyfriend.
Yeah.
That was a big what, mm-hmm, in terms of any modus operandi that we've ever heard of or sexual proclivities. Now, the only reason that, of course, all of this is relevant is because of his choice of victims.
Sure.
And of course, we know that we have one male that they're trying to figure out whether he's linked or not. So I just found that sort of interesting. The other thing is, when you look at the timetable of when Rex Heuermann was married to Asa, so they were married in April of 1996.
Okay.
This, in February 14th, is when Karen Vergata went missing. Okay, so she, meaning Asa, gave birth to their first child together. She had a child previous, but their first child together in October of 1996. So she would have been pregnant, mm-hmm, during this supposed swing party.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's just all a little bit, you know, and then this witness one says that the woman they picked up again, who she's claiming now is Karen Vergata, came out of the house naked, was running around, and that she and her policeman boyfriend saw it all and thought it was some sort of game and decided to leave anyway. It's just a little bit out there. Law enforcement is going to look at it. But when you really break down at least what the lawyer said, unless we're playing telephone game and he didn't exactly say it correct, Tony, I don't know. What do you think?
It seems to, you know, line at least the behavior, maybe not necessarily the people themselves, you know, follow his arc of behavior. We've heard about this, rumblings of sex parties and that he was involved in that sort of scene. And when you're involved in that sort of scene and the sex workers that he was hiring, not just the swingers that came, you know, it's a circle. And there's certain people who would eventually be able to make these sort of allegations and point out, oh, yeah, I remember Rex. He's a fairly memorable character. If Rex was just like a 5'7" medium build guy with, you know, nothing that stands out, I don't know that, you know, 1996, if you're into this scene on a frequent basis, that you'd probably remember him. But he does stand out in a crowd. The conversation extracts that we've seen in these documents are also, I find, very interesting, where one of them talks, apparently alleges to have talked with Os Elrup in their home, asking even if, you know, she was going to be involved. She declined, according to those statements, and also made a statement that Rex has given her everything and that, but she's also fearful of him. And this is back in 1996. What do you make of the conversation allegations that she had with Asa, and exactly what does that mean for this whole case? Does it continue to show that, you know, she turned a blind eye and what she didn't know?
Well, certainly, if these statements ferret out to be true, and there should be some ways to corroborate. Mm-hmm. As an example, even though we've seen some crime scene photos, I would have wanted details as to exactly what that house looked like, how the rooms were configured, you know, to see if I can corroborate that she was indeed inside of there. And I'm not talking about statements like, well, it was cluttered.
Yeah.
I'm talking about we walked in and to the right was a couch and the room was about this big and it led to this room. Very specific details just to corroborate she was in there. The other thing is they need to talk to the boyfriend police swinger officer. He should be able to corroborate this. Why hasn't he come forward? As you said, Rex Heuermann is not just your average Joe. And this was a very specific place in a, you know, multi-million dollar type residential area in Long Island. Mm-hmm. Even back then, it would have been a more high-end area.
Yeah.
So, you know, that house, just everything, this should be able to be corroborated in terms of at least those two avenues.
How odd is it that these statements, these pieces of evidence, this information is coming from the attorneys for some of the victims? John Ray, an interesting character by all accounts. He's been on the show. I've talked to him before, but yeah, an interesting character without a doubt. That it's coming from him, that it's coming from that direction, and this is not coming from investigators in the case itself.
Well, of course, he says, and this isn't unusual, that he's reaching out to say, listen, we know you don't want to go to law enforcement because maybe you're a sex worker or you were participating in activities that you find embarrassing. Come to me, though, and let me know and understand. So I understand why he did it. And it's, you know, Dog the Bounty Hunter did things like this for years and, you know, did well by it.
Yeah.
All that being said, Tony, there's ways to corroborate this information. And I'm waiting to see if there's any corroboration, because right now, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm buying all of it.
Well, the fact that the police commissioner was standing next to Ray when he was giving this press conference the other day, but the police did release a statement, you know, stating this came from him. And, you know, we don't really know for sure yet. Essentially, of course, I'm very much paraphrasing that. Is that where we go now that John Ray has brought this to light? Is this now, okay, law enforcement, take it, run it, see if we can corroborate this and, you know, make sure that these statements are in fact true if we can?
Absolutely. And I think I call him the commish, right? I think it was important he was there.
Yeah.
Because he needs to let the public know this task force is still going strong. This task force still has every intention of, you know, understanding who murdered the other victims and if it can be traced to Heuermann. So he needed to be there. And I thought it was very important that he was there. But by no stretch did he say he believed in these allegations. What he said was, we're going to investigate them.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.